Now, Milwaukee rolled out its latest city budget this week, and it includes staffing cuts to firefighters, libraries, and the police department, though the dollar amount for police goes up. In a speech to Milwaukee's Common Council, Mayor Cavalier Johnson zeroed in on two causes: the state system that helps fund local services, known as shared revenue, and a state-imposed limit on how much local governments can raise in taxes and fees.
We are tightly constrained by limited revenue. In fact, constrained is not the right word. We're hamstrung. We're forced to cut long-established services because we simply just don't have the money that we need.
We're taking a look at how these state policies affect the health of local governments around the state and what it means for services in your community. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What local services are important to you? Libraries, parks, police, maybe all of the above. Have you seen cuts to any of those services in your own community? Do you think cities, local governments should be able to raise, say, a 0.5% sales tax like counties are able to do right now? Or take off property tax limits? Are there changes you'd like to see? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Jason Stein is research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
Now, Rob, you at Policy Forum have written a couple of reports related to shared revenue. First of all, can you tell us, what do we mean when we talk about our shared revenue system in the state? How does the money flow?
So essentially, this is a system that dates all the way back to 1911, when the state first established a state income tax, and state leaders at the time said essentially that we are going to preserve for state government the ability to levy income taxes. We are not going to allow our local units of government to do the same. But in return, we're going to make a commitment that some portion of the income taxes we collect as the state will be shared with our local units of government. Essentially, the same principle also has been followed with regard to the sales tax over time, with the exception, as you noticed in your opening, or said in your opening, that counties are allowed to do a 0.5-cent sales tax. So when we talk about the shared revenue program, it's an appropriation in the state budget that exists for both counties and for municipal governments. The state appropriates funds every year. Those are distributed via a formula, and it constitutes a form of revenue sharing, whereby state government is sharing those sources of revenue that it is able to collect exclusively with those local units of government. As I'm sure we'll get into, the problem is that over time, that sharing principle has really diminished to the point of even disappearing. That appropriation, the overall state appropriation for the shared revenue program, has essentially stayed the same in non-inflation adjusted, so just nominal terms, has not gone up for the past 25 years or so. And that clearly is squeezing local units of government.
And Jason, Rob mentioned income tax and sales tax. That leaves property tax, which local governments can assess, but even there are limits. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So in Wisconsin, for cities, villages, counties, technical college districts, they live under what is called levy limits. And essentially what that is it limits the property taxes that they levy for their operating budget, for their ongoing operations, can't rise by any more than the percentage increase essentially in new construction or development in that local government's territory. And, you know, there are a number of communities from Milwaukee, the large city, to, you know, many small towns in the state that are just not getting very much new construction every year. Even when inflation was 1.5% to 2% a year, they weren't necessarily getting that. And now that we have inflation at, you know, 8% or 9% a year, they're certainly not getting that.
I want to give a listen now to Jerry Deshane, head of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. This is him talking back in May to the morning show here on the Ideas Network about how this all affects local communities.
There's a disconnect with how well the state is doing with its budgets and how challenged local governments are doing. And the bottom line, it's because the system we have doesn't work. The system is supposed to share money from the state to local governments. That's just not happening.
And Rob, that's what you were pointing to just a few moments ago. Where is that leaving local communities, like whether we're talking about the biggest city, Milwaukee, or smaller cities and villages around the state?
So there is a distinction. It based on the way the formula has been developed over time, clearly larger cities and particularly city governments that are poorer in nation or in nature than wealthier jurisdictions receive bigger shared revenue payments. So a city like Milwaukee, 20 years ago, roughly 40% of Milwaukee's overall general purpose budget was comprised of shared revenues from the state. So if a revenue source that is 40% of your overall budget is never going up, that's going to have a much bigger consequence for you than, say, a smaller municipality where maybe it's only 5 or 10% of their budget. That said, shared revenue is a very important revenue source for dozens, if not hundreds, of cities and villages across the state of Wisconsin. And the fact that, again, this source of revenue is not increasing from year to year is putting more pressure on the other major source of revenue, which is the property tax, which in the case of Milwaukee has now somersaulted above shared revenue. So it used to be that shared revenue was about 40% of the budget, property taxes in the low 20s. Now that has been completely reversed. But as Jason said, because of the restrictions on the property tax, you really have what amounts to a fiscal straitjacket for those local governments that are really highly dependent on these two sources of revenue.
Talking to Rob Henken and Jason Stein about how we fund local governments in Wisconsin, the biggest cities, the smallest towns, all points in between, and the idea of shared revenue. Money flows in income and sales tax to the state. Some of it flows back to the local governments. Local governments say, not enough anymore. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your comments, your questions. Are there changes you'd like to see made? Are you someone involved in creating a budget at the local level? How does this affect your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Now, Jason, I had, you know, because of my job here, a rough idea of how this works in Wisconsin. What I didn't really realize till reading your reports is what an outlier Wisconsin is compared to all the other Midwestern states. Can you talk about ways in which things are really run differently here?
Sure. I mean, the big difference is, you know, we get about the same share of our local government budgets from taxes in Wisconsin as other states in the Midwest. The difference is, you know, for local governments in the state, particularly cities and villages, you know, the property tax is almost the only game in town for them. They have a little bit, you know, some municipalities have room taxes. They get a little bit from that. Some municipalities have local vehicle registration fees, but the reality is the property tax accounts for more than 90% of all local government taxes in the state. And so when you think about the constraints on that, that makes it difficult. In other states in the Midwest, it's common to see cities and villages, or cities at least, have sales taxes that they can levy. You do see some states like Michigan and Ohio with municipal income taxes. And so the difference is, in Wisconsin, about the same share of the budget comes from taxes, but it's not a mix of taxes. It's just one.
It's Brianna Caller at 800-642-1234. Mac is with us in Milwaukee. Mac, hello.
Hi. I think one thing that's typically elided in this conversation is that by this point, it has to be on purpose. The Republicans in the state legislature and the assembly, they're straitjacketing Milwaukee and other metropolitan areas because they control the purse strings, and they don't want metropolitan areas to be able to control themselves, or municipalities to be able to fund parks and do nice things. And it then reinforces their narrative that those places are broken, and they can further demonize those places and impoverish them. And it's really sad. I don't see a way out, but it's more of a political dynamic as well as a fiscal one.
Mac, thanks for the call. Rob, I don't know if you want to get into the partisan politics behind this, but has there been a strong case to be made for doing the things the way we do them now and funding from the state to the local governments at the level we're doing now? Has there been an argument saying, yeah, we're doing it right?
So I think, again, we try very hard not to get into the motivations of different lawmakers and the politics of what's going on. I will say that the point at which the shared revenue pot stopped growing was at around the same point in time that the state made a very consequential decision to try to fund 2/3 of the cost of public K-12 schools. Clearly, the state of Wisconsin has had its own budget constraints. And one of the things that we did see, whether deliberately or not, was this greater commitment to K-12 schools resulted in less of a commitment to cities and villages and counties and towns. And that's just the way it has played out. That said, again, a case can be made without getting into any political or other motivation that the state has indeed, as one would certainly have hoped, as our economy has grown, the state has seen increases in its collections of these forms of taxation that it has preserved for itself in terms of the ability to levy those. And it is the notion of sharing that really has ceased over the past couple of decades.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Rob Henken and Jason Stein from Wisconsin Policy Forum with us today for a look at the way Wisconsin funds local services, the parks, the police, all that local stuff, why some local leaders, mayors, and others say the system isn't working, the money is flowing to the state, not enough of it flowing back. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How is this affecting your community? Do you have questions about how this all works? Would you like to see more revenue go from the state budget to your local community or rely more on local property taxes to meet your local needs? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk about Wisconsin's system to fund local government services. Rob Henken and Jason Stein with the Wisconsin Policy Forum stay with us. That organization has put out a couple of recent studies looking at shared revenue in Milwaukee and around the state, how it affects local governments, where people are seeing shortfalls in local funding, maybe looking for changes. And you could join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Should, say, a city be able to levy its own sales tax, which it can't do right now, maybe an extra 0.5% like counties can right now? Do you think cities should have more, or local governments should have more latitude to raise property taxes in the absence of direct sales and income tax? Call in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jason, that local sales tax idea, some people pointed toward, you know, if I'm successful in my local city, I'm bringing in business, maybe bringing in events like a major political convention or something. I'm not really going to get a taste of that because it's going to bring in sales tax money and the sales tax money goes to the state. Is there a thought that, hey, maybe letting that local government do this directly might help solve some of this?
Sure. I mean, I think the traditional argument has been, well, that's true that you don't get directly from these consumers, but, you know, they spend money at hotels, they spend money at restaurants, stores, that sort of thing, and that those businesses in turn pay property taxes. The reality is, though, that you're not going to get an increase in property taxes because that's linked purely to what development there is. So, you know, it's only if you get so much tourism for such a sustained period of time that you actually start doing new development that would actually, you know, generate the revenue for the local government. So that's been the argument for the sales tax. The other argument would be that, you know, commuters pay that in a way that, you know, your people that say commute into work in a large urban area in a way that they don't with their property taxes, where they're paying them wherever their residence is.
It's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Bob is with us in Richland Center. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. So I'm on the county board of Richland County, and we are right in the middle of this problem. We're looking at going to a referendum to try and see if the voters, you know, want to raise some of their raise their taxes to handle services. But that means we're also looking at, do we cut services if we don't pass it, and trying to keep the wages up to make sure we get good quality people in our offices is tough if we don't have that flexibility. So I guess my question is, if your guests have heard referendum ideas, successful ways of doing that, their thoughts and their input would be helpful.
And Bob, could I ask, I want to make sure we're all talking about the same thing. You're looking at raising the ceiling on your local property taxes, I'm guessing, which you would have to do under state law to raise those property taxes?
Yeah, so for our operating budget, the only way we can raise it, because our net new construction isn't high enough to do anything with, then we need to go to a referendum, which the statute allows. And at that point, we can increase our operating budget in that manner.
I gotcha. Bob, thanks a lot for that call. Rob, are we seeing communities around the state do this? Say, hey, we're going to go to voters to try to get this exemption from that property tax limit.
Yes, there's no question that we're seeing an increasing number of local governments, both municipal governments and county governments, turning to referendum. We have seen this over the past decade or so with regard to school districts. Our organization has tracked this. The number of referenda have increased dramatically, the size, and also the approval rate. Interestingly, school districts operate under their own revenue limits. We are not seeing as many counties, though I'm beginning to hear about that more. Certainly in the southeast part of the state, we're seeing more municipal governments going very specifically to voters to ask for authorization to exceed property tax levy limits, specifically for police and fire positions. Those tend to be the areas that are really stretched thin. Neither police nor fire are subject to the Act 10 restrictions on collective bargaining. And they're, obviously these are public safety positions. It includes EMS as well, that tend to be prioritized by local governments. And so there's no question that this is a manifestation of the many, many years of seeing revenues constricted for both counties and municipalities.
Bob, thanks a lot for that call. Jason, the flip side of Bob's question there is, if they don't get these revenue increases, they're going to be looking at maybe serious cuts. Is that something we're seeing? We're seeing this new budget proposal in Milwaukee. Is this a common thread you're seeing of difficult choices in funding cuts?
Sure. I mean, you know, obviously we've also documented over the past 20 years that Wisconsin has seen a bigger drop in its overall state tax burden. So taxes as a share of income of practically any state in the country. So, you know, and that includes, you know, what's happened with our property tax. Our property tax ranking has dropped somewhat. So obviously on the one hand, that's a benefit to the state. On the other hand, you know, in Wisconsin, we have a government that's set up that services are delivered more at the local level than in many other states. Certain services, in particular in Wisconsin, police and law enforcement is really heavily local. In all states, fire and EMS is, you know, exclusively local practically. And so, you know, you do have those issues about whether or not there's the funding needed to carry through with some of these services. You're also seeing a lot of small communities. You know, we've talked a lot about larger communities, but you're seeing many towns also have struggles in areas like EMS, where they've traditionally relied on volunteers to respond to a limited number of emergency calls. As the population ages, you're getting more emergency calls, and you're having more difficulty finding, you know, volunteers or paid on call staff that who can, you know, show up and get there in time for these emergencies on a timely basis.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I agree with earlier calls that there's politics in here and there's also practical impact. When you've got the state government sitting on a pot of money and local governments short, it makes sense, especially since that's a point of shared revenue, to share it. Milwaukee's got its budget problems, including through the police force. And one of the candidates for running for governor is talking about wanting to fire our DA, but not talking about sending money our way to help boost local government, including for the police force. And to make things worse, I think some people in the state legislature actually want to cut further. I think last year they were discussing cutting local transit funding and stuff like that. So this is wrongheaded in my mind.
Nate, thanks for the call. In our last minute or so, Rob, you know, shared revenue is not necessarily a word on the top of mind for everybody. Doesn't really come up a lot in political debates. Are you hoping whatever people think needs to be done, are you hoping to put it on the map as an issue that people are thinking about?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, again, and this is a healthy thing for governments to take a look periodically at the way that their structures are set up. In this case, the structure for ensuring that local governments in the state have the capacity to provide the services that constituents want and at the levels that they want. But perhaps I'd like to close by saying, you know, maybe there's a piece here that both sides of the political spectrum can agree upon, and that's service sharing. We think that there is still a lot of untapped potential for local governments and local governments with their county governments to look at ways that they can share and consolidate services. And it's not just to save money and to respond to these revenue constraints, but it's also to improve service effectiveness and efficiency. So maybe there's some common ground there that can be talked about at the same time we're talking about these very real issues with regard to both shared revenues and property tax levy limits.
Thanks to both of our guests today. We've been talking to Rob Henken and Jason Stein from the Wisconsin Policy Forum with us today to talk about how Wisconsin funds local services, a system known as shared revenue, some of the challenges currently facing that system, shortfalls in a lot of communities, and some ideas for improving it.